Before we jump into this Raptors series, this Raptors-Bucks preview, we did want to get your one thought on Warriors, because Ben and I were texting back and forth during that game last night, and it's like, this is more entertaining, and it's also putting more of a light on Durant's decision and all of that positive momentum he had built earlier in the playoffs of this is the best player in the NBA. It feels like it's turned a little bit, and there are two thoughts. One, are you enjoying the Warriors more? And two, how do you think KD feels watching this?
One, I love the Warriors in whatever incarnation you want to have them. You know, whether Steph's playing or whether Kevin Durant's playing or whether neither was playing, they're a fun team. They sort of feed off of joy and fun more than any organization that we've ever seen. So I'm not surprised that they're able to win games without Kevin Durant. That being said, I think a lot of us are sort of caught in the moment, and we're forgetting the fact that the reason why the Warriors brought Kevin Durant there and why he is there in the first place is because he made them unbeatable. Without Kevin Durant, they do not beat the Houston Rockets. They don't win three games as they did, and they needed to win before they won the series, before he went down. And I think he's watching it like, yes, the more they win, the more opportunity he has to come back and continue his run as being the best player on the best team in the league. I think a lot has been done to sort of diminish or try to, you know, make Durant's decision seem like it was a bad one or it was like evil or whatever we want to do. But the Warriors needed Kevin Durant for two reasons. One, because it put them over the hump and made them untouchable. And two, because it eliminated a potential rival, because they knew how hard it was to defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder that year. And if you go back and look, you'll find audio from Andre Iguodala, who said after they won that, after they lost, you know, to them in that series, that Oklahoma City was the better team. Mm-hmm. So, and the reason why is because of Kevin Durant. So I don't put a whole lot into what people are trying to say. And also the Houston Rockets were the only team capable, in my opinion, only team capable of defeating the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series in the Western Conference. I don't think that there was any, only the West was as strong as it has been in the past. And we just happened to get that matchup in the conference semis instead of the conference finals. But if things had bounced a little differently in the regular season, we would have seen it in the conference finals. So I just think that Kevin Durant's excited that he might get a chance to come back and play this year.
Yeah, and his swan song for the Warriors potentially as he moves to the New York Knicks without Zion Williamson. Potentially. Maybe.
Well, maybe, but maybe he gets the New York Knicks with Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Mm.
That'd be That's pretty good.
I would rather play with him than Zion.
Yeah.
In year one, yeah. Maybe year five, I get Zion, but about KD's 35, so it don't matter.
Yep, no, it's a good point. All right, so game one tonight in Milwaukee, and yeah, I feel like a lot of the conversation surrounding the Bucks is discrediting them. They won 60 games during the regular season. They had this almost double-digit point differential throughout the regular season. They've lost one game in the postseason. I mean, you look at it, there's a statistical reason to say that this might be a mismatch on paper, that the Bucks just might be far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, they've been that team all year. I mean, they've been the team that's been the most consistent. They've been the most reliable. They've been the most disciplined. They've been the best committed on the defensive end. They have arguably the best player from beginning to end to play, you know, more games. So, yes, they have a lot in their favor, and that's why I would give them the edge if I had to pick. But I would not be surprised if the Raptors won because of two things. One, if Kawhi is not low-managed, maybe they wind up, you know, with the best record in the East, you know, throughout, you know, to have home court advantage right now. And also, the way that they were tested against the Philadelphia 76ers, I don't think people really understood how good the Sixers were or how fortunate the Raptors were that, you know, Joel Embiid probably wasn't 100% for all of it. But they gave them everything you possibly could take. They were severely tested, and they really had to grind out that series. And what stood out to me was that it was a difficult series. It was a challenging series, and it brought out a really strong side of them that you didn't recognize. You know, you didn't know that they were going to be committed to the defensive end for as much as they were. That game seven, to me, you know, aside from Kawhi's shot, their commitment on the defensive end, their ability to play heavy minutes and still see Kyle Lowry, you know, diving for loose balls, and you see these guys just hustling and doing all these things, those kind of tests, like, they prepare you for a tougher opponent because you've been made stronger through the process. You know, I don't know if they're going to win the series or not, but I go back to last year with the Golden State Warriors. They were pushed to seven games in the conference finals against the Houston Rockets, and they were tested, and they were down 3-2, and there were all these moments where they could have broken, and they wound up winning. And then by the time they got to the next round, it was like, whatever you got is not going to be able to test us the way the other team did. And I think Philly kind of did that for the Raptors in terms of making their guys stronger and making them believe. So I think it's going to be a really competitive series. I know some people think it's going to be a cakewalk. I'm not in that camp, mainly because I trust what I saw from this team, from their competitive drive, and also the fact that Kawhi Leonard is playing at just such an unbelievable level right now that I don't think it's going to be – they're going to be an easy out.
No, I'm with you. It's just we keep coming back to the same simplistic thing of the Raptors shot making. And there's clearly a bit of recency bias when it comes to the Raptors, because we just saw a series where Danny Green was not his usual self. Marcus Gasol was hesitant to shoot threes. Kyle Lowry wasn't exactly drilling it from deep. They didn't have the same Pascal Siakam knocking it down from the corners. They weren't able to play Fred. They weren't able to play Norm. That all of a sudden you're looking at this like, oh, well, the Raptors don't have any shooters. They can't match the Bucks. But in reality, that there's a larger sample of those guys shooting the ball well, and that they should be able to hang in that regard. I guess the only counter to it, and this is what I wonder, when you're talking about that defensive performance they had against the Sixers, do you think that the Raptors are going to be able to play at that level, considering how much transition basketball the Bucks are going to want to play? And two is how integral Marc Gasol was in that series. Do you see how he fits defensively against this Bucks team, especially when they take out a guy like Brook Lopez out of the lineup, and he has to go out to the three-point line only to guard guys like Mirotić?
I don't think that there's a fear. Only the Raptors should be afraid of that. I mean, Gasol is he's older, but he's mobile. You know, he's not just some big lumbering stiff that has no ability to move around. Guarding Joel Embiid is tough. I mean, Joel Embiid is probably he is the best big man, you know, in terms of just skill set and everything else. And he handled him pretty easily. Now, he's a different type of matchup than they would face against the Milwaukee Bucks. But he can move around. I think you'll see moments where he winds up matched up against Giannis. And there may be times where he even gets the upper hand. The one thing I think they're going to try to do is turn Giannis to a jump shooter and make him beat them that way, as opposed to just straight line drives to the basket. In terms of just defending threes, I mean, the Sixers are a team that really test you. And they had two shooters on the floor. I mean, Tobias Harris and J.J. Redick can really hit shots, you know, and they can hit open looks. They're dangerous, lethal threats. And they weren't really huge factors in the last series. So I believe that they can make it difficult for the Milwaukee Bucks in the same way. Obviously, they're set up differently and they're coached differently. But I don't think that they're that much better than what they just faced, honestly.
Yeah. No, the Sixers were real good, despite the fact they had some really interesting pieces and in how they mixed together. I'm interested.
And also kind of flipping the previous series where I think the Sixers were like, well, we never saw this version against these Raptors, and they threw out everything that happened in the regular season.
Yeah.
I'm basically throwing out everything from the regular season and just going and saying these are two teams that are meeting up against each other that have never faced each other before, because Gasol changes things that much for this team.
Yeah, he does. And the Raptors were a better three-point shooting team when he arrived. But what's real? I'm trying to figure out what's real with both teams and their shooting, because in the postseason, the Bucks have just been the far superior three-point shooting team from a percentage basis. We know they attempted so many during the regular season, which might have brought their percentage down. But the Raptors were much better than them during the regular season. Who's the better three-point shooting team in reality, do you think?
I mean, who's been the best team as it played out over the course of the full season? I think that I would lean towards just the Bucks, and they have more shooters, I would think, and they have guys off the bench who can hit shots as well. And they have a guy who attracts so much attention and is the better playmaker. You know, Giannis, you know, for all as great as Kawhi is, and he's an awesome individual talent on both ends, he's not as great a playmaker. He's not going to be able to, say, drive, draw to get the defense to collapse, and then make that pinpoint pass to the corner or to the elbow extended and get the guy like right in motion for a shot. That's the one flaw in his game. So I think if you have the Giannis as your playmaker and setting guys up, you have an advantage there, because, you know, Kyle can do it, you know, but he's also the guy you're going to be leaning on to hit shots. So that's where I would definitely give the Bucks an advantage, because in terms of playmakers, they have the better one.
Yeah, I think that's the right assessment of it. I really do. Who's the most intriguing non-superstar to you in this series?
Pascal Siakam. I mean, I don't think he's a superstar yet, but I'm interested to see what happens with him matched up against Giannis, because I sort of see him as like Giannis light or something, you know, moving in that direction of being, you know, pretty good. And I'm interested to see if how healthy he's going to be and if he's going to be able to do what he did, say, in game one before the Sixers put Joel Embiid on him. Is he going to be a little freer now? Is he going to be able to have a bigger impact on this series than he was, say, in the last one? I mean, he had obviously a great game one. He had some consistent production, but he had to really work, because when you got a 7-2 guy who's pretty mobile and you kind of get baskets against him, it's different than what he's going to face, you know, against either Giannis. I mean, he's a great defensive player as well. But if he gets Giannis or Middleton or somehow those matchups come into play, I want to see what he does and see if he's grown, you know, from that previous series where there's a lot of expectations for him to perform and he struggled. And now there's similar expectations. We'll see what he does.
Well, it's especially interesting because, yeah, Embiid is one of the league's best defensive players, and so is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis. And if you have I just feel like the playbook is there a little bit with Siakam, the idea that, all right, we saw what the Sixers did, and it was largely effective, was taking away the paint from him and making it really difficult when he went for those herky-jerk glass and in shots that Siakam likes to do. Make him more of a mid-range guy, make him an above-the-break guy, force him to make those corner threes. I just guess the inverse is also true, right, is that, you know, Siakam has had a few games where he's had a look at that defensively, and whether or not he can make that adjustment, I agree with you. I think it's going to be massive in this series.
Another guy I went through out is Fred VanVleet. He was terrible in the last series. I mean, he wasn't making any shots in that series. And I think that now against this team, he's actually going to have an opportunity. He won't look like he's looking up at a brick wall or the green wall every time he tries to get to the hoop. I think he's going to be a little more effective. I think that the Raptors bench, which has been consistent, you know, throughout all season, that was neutralized by the size of the Sixers, I think they'll be able to have a couple of moments where they break loose, you know, against the Bucks.
Is Malcolm Brogdon going to get back into the starting lineup to begin the series?
I would think so. At some point, he's going to wind up being there. And he's such a guy, a stabilizing force, a steadying force. I think he's got to get his rhythm back. He hasn't had it because he hasn't played hardly at all since his injury. But I think that, you know, they've had a pretty good amount of time to prepare for this series because they took care of Boston so quickly. And I'm sure that from practices to 5-on-5, he's probably ready. But I think that they're probably going to take their time and just go with what's been working until he's all the way back, or until they're put in a situation where they have to respond to the Raptors.
All right, before I let you go, 39 field goal attempts for Kawhi Leonard in Game 7. The 39th was very much needed. Thank you very much, Kawhi. How many attempts tonight, Michael?
I think he's back down in the low 20s. I think he that game he needed it, and his teammates were just so willing to play hot potato with it and just looking to him like, please save us, please save us. I don't think they're going to be looking for Kawhi to save him. I think they're going to try to get back to doing what made the Raptors successful. Game 7, though, when it's really tight, you want your best player to step up. So I had no problem with taking 39. He probably should have taken 45, to be honest.
Yeah, it worked out. That's all I can say about it. But, yeah, it's hard to imagine them winning a 7-game series with them taking that many shots. Michael?
Yeah, he won't. They're going to need more guys to step up.